Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome into Sabres Live. We are getting so close to the start of the regular season. Marty, you can't get much closer than this. Put them through the paces. Suit them up. Drive them to the rink. Make sure they're ready as soon as they step inside the O2 doors in Prague.
I have nightmares from having to do so. Like, the Sabres are pretty lucky now because if they practice at Harbour Center, they just wheel over, right? They put the skate guard with the wheel and they go. But I have nightmares from having to practice somewhere else and having to dress at the KeyBank Center. But the goalies, how do you walk over? Like, you can't put your pads on and not your skates. And so you put on half your equipment. Then you go over there and then the coaches are like, hey, hurry up, goalies. We want to get started. But I have to put a roll of tape around each ankle like I was doing. So I was always like rushing. It was awful. So I do have nightmares. Now, you can see here, James Reimer, he's not even getting dressed. He just decided, you know what? I'll put the full gear on when I get there. So that is stressful to me. Anxiety filling my body. Couple that with every crazy thing that's happened in the NHL in preseason right now. I'm like, let's get the regular season going. Let's get back to normal. Play two games in Prague. Come back home. Let's go. I cannot wait for Friday, but more importantly, I cannot wait for next Thursday when we have the home opener.
We are 2 days and 28 minutes away from pregame coverage of the season opener in Prague. And yes, we have two unique start times for our broadcast this weekend, a 12:30 pregame on Friday. Are we doing Sabres Live from noon to 12:30? Should we do that?
Aww. We're not. Because
why doesn't anybody want to work around here? Come on!
The control room have to do all their tests and all
their tests.
They have to be able to test the lines, and because this is coming from Prague, like if it was at the arena or somewhere in the NHL, it'd be easier. But it's coming from Prague. They got to make sure that the visuals are good. They do their transmission. That's what I was looking for. The transmission test.
Oh, you'll be happy to know, and of course you'll be sad to know that I've forgotten it. But when hanging out with our good friend Kevin Kennedy in Franklin at the music festival on the weekend, he delivered an idiom that was so mixed up and so wrong. And I immediately looked at him and said, oh, Marty would love this one.
I'm going to have to text him and see what it was.
It was something about a tent, and it was just like not in the right context. And I'm like, oh my, that was not it.
So anyway, did you know, Duffer, while you were there last Friday when we played the game against Red Bull, I got yelled at in our control room. When I walked in, I got yelled at, and Jeff, our producer Jeff, is nodding, saying like that actually happened.
Okay, the floors were wet and you had dirty sneakers.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, like this was the first time of the year. We haven't been in studio all that often, right? And this is actually coming in at about 11 o'clock.
Did you have Lancaster's Broadway Deli?
We did have Lancaster Broadway Deli. It was awesome. It was sandwiches. It was fantastic. Little coleslaw. You know, I love their coleslaw. It was awesome. So we did Sabres Live from 12 to 1. And then from 1 to 2:30, they were working on the transmission. And they actually were working on transmission even before Sabres Live at noon. So I walk into the control room, the building, because I was excited. Let's go. This is the first. So I walk in like I am like, you know, walking on the dance floor in Saturday Night Live. Like I'm like Studio 54, we come. I'm like, let's go, everybody. It's going to be a great year. I'm yelling. I'm like, Matt Gold is working with the people in Germany in their brand new building to try to get the transmission going well and communication and all of that. And I'm yelling and screaming, high-fiving everybody. He looks over and goes, Marty, we're working over here. Like, oh, sorry, Matt. Like, and he felt bad. He came later. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you're right. Like, you're doing important stuff. And I walk in completely unaware. Zero awareness, Duffer. Zero awareness of what was going on in that control room.
Well, Marty, we're at 12:04. Now is your chance to take over the show in any direction you want. Because if you don't, I have some rants lined up that are likely to take up the better part of this hour.
I don't know if I want to take over the show. I kind of am intrigued by your rant. But I feel like we may be at opposite end of that rant. Maybe we won't.
Makes for better broadcast
radio
experience.
All I'll say.
Well, I didn't want to say radio because, like, maybe it'll be good TV as
but
well.
Maybe it'd be good TV if all of a sudden my computer starts shaking and the camera falls over and I.
Yeah, before we get 24 minutes past the hour in Spalding Lake Wi-Fi, can we actually get into a good dialogue here?
A good dialogue. Okay.
Okay. Here's my question, which you already know the answer to. What is the biggest misnomer you will hear now that we are in the month of October about the Sabres and their chances this season?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. They need to start off the season on a good note. And yes, you kind of have to, but.
No, they don't. They could go 0-10. And it won't matter. And they could lose all the games in November. And it won't matter. Do you know that in the last 13 years, 9 of the 13 seasons have not produced a poor start in any way, including the majority of the last 6 seasons? They were tied for 12th, tied for 2nd, tied for 14th, tied for 8th, tied for 4th. And last year, technically tied for 20th, but 2 points out of 14th after the first month of the season.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how you start, ask the Edmonton Oilers. It's how you finish. It is such a crock of crap. People in this business just spew this. They have no chance if they don't have a great start to the year. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's how you recover. It's how you come together. Don't put the onus on the first 2 games of the first month. Would it be nice? Of course it would be nice if they had a great start. But the separation does not happen. The culmination of a season does not happen in its first month. The clinching of playoff spots does not happen in the first month.
So that's
rant number one.
I get it. But there is a saying, and I'm going to get that saying right. You can't make the playoff in the first month, but you can miss the playoff in the first month.
But they didn't. That's my whole point.
Yes. And the stats.
It wasn't
back
until
it
the
up.
Games 20 to 30 last year where they started to go off the rails. And then they got it back, but they never got it back to the same level.
Never got it back enough. And, you know, I feel like that's – you're accurate with your assessment of how we've seen teams. The Nashville Predators, like last year, they were barely a .500 team until they got to their streak. Their streak was in the second half. It got them to the playoffs. And it got them that feeling of, hey, we're just a Stamkos or Marsh or so away maybe from being a really, really good team. Mm-hmm. It was one streak, 16-0-2. Before that, they were a .500 hockey team. .500 hockey team doesn't get you
anywhere. Buffalo has been at worst in most of these years is a .500. People are thinking, they're only thinking about the Eichel Reinhardt draft years and the window where they were very, very, very poor. That is a microcosm, like a tiny little speck of what has actually happened over the last 13 years. And it doesn't come down to the start.
There is a difference between the Buffalo Sabres and the Edmonton Oilers because the Oilers have had playoffs.
They didn't have to be.
Well, I get it. But psychologically, mentally, there is a difference because the Oilers have made the playoffs. The Oilers have had success.
Okay. But they also had success under that coach. And then they changed that coach.
Yeah.
They made a really bold move.
They made a bold move, and a lot of teams that
wasn't that bold.
Switch coach.
How Connor has known the guy forever, so it's really not a.
But for
Connor's
most
team.
Of the guys, it was a new coach. But I will say this: that's why we've seen that Dan Bylsma go into Pittsburgh, or Mike Sullivan go into Pittsburgh, or Craig Berube go into St. Louis and winning the cup. Right, because sometimes
how was
like,
St. Louis's start that year? Dead last.
They were last.
Won the cup.
They were last, and you know what? The Sabres were first after having a 10-game winning streak. And
after
they
the month
the
of October, they were 9-2-2, and they were tied for 2nd overall.
Yeah, I remember I put out a tweet that after that first month, that I
I think they were close to the first place at Thanksgiving, weren't they?
I put out a tweet saying that I think Coach of the Year, Jack Adams, Phil Housley should be considered, and GM of the Year should be Jason Botterill should be considered, considering how well the Sabres started that season. And you know, by the time we got to March, I was like, oh. Can I go back and erase? Can I put a 6 months like delay, like automatically erase on my all my tweets? But yeah, I get that. I feel though for the Sabres, for this group, a good start to season would be preferred. Is it going to be the end of the year? No. Is it like you're not making the playoffs if in the first, what is it, 2, 4, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games? Okay, 10 games in October. If they're 4-6, Is it the end of the season? No. But if they're 2-8, I don't like their chances. That's just, you know, my view on it. And if they're 8-2, it's going to be fun and great. But yeah, you got to keep it going.
Exactly. So. That's the whole point. Yeah. So just have some awareness in the totality of the situation. That's all I'm saying. Like, the Bills had a tough one last week, right? Whatever. Move on. I'm just, and all these
I've
measures.
I'm good about moving on because I'm always like back in my player's mode. Like, okay, the game's over.
Is this next? All there is for, that can't be all of us.
No, there was one week missing. Okay. That last week, the last 2 weeks, the Dallas, Detroit, and Florida.
I was going to say, that's the shortest October in
wow. That's why I said 2-4-6 because my page was not like on my computer. I had to raise the page up a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
they do have 10 games in October.
Okay. So producer Jeff went to school for this and he posted something on X today. Yes. And I, of course, am an X of X. So would you like to read the disclaimer / question / desires in the form of responses for what Buffalo needs to do here?
Desires is adding an S on everything like I usually do because I'm from Latvia. Fill in the blank Wednesday. The Sabres will make the playoffs this season if blank. And we are getting, I'll tell you this, often at this time of year, we'll get sarcastic responses. And we got the old, like, if they win more games than they lose, like, type of response. I'm like, you wasted 10 seconds of not just my life, of your own life for answering that in that way. I get it. Sometimes you got to be silly. One great answer I felt was a really good answer. It was an issue last season was first period goal differential. Somebody suggested if they play better first period this year, it gives them obviously a better chance. They were minus 30 in goal differential in first period last year. League rank, I'm not sure. I can't say it's last because Chicago
it was bottom five, though.
Yeah, it has to be bottom five. But
give me one sec. Continue with your responses.
And they actually were worse than that, and they got better towards the end of the season. They clawed their way back to minus 30. So that was a reason. Somebody suggested
they were 30th last year. Okay, only so Chicago and San Jose were worse.
So I took a shot and I got it right with Chicago and San Jose. Somebody mentioned excellent goaltending. Excellent goaltending is always required, but the Sabres did have excellent goaltending last season, right? It didn't amount to anything. When you look at the goals save above expectation per team, the Sabres were fourth in the NHL at 5-on-5 behind Winnipeg, Boston, and Florida. Like, they did their job, the goalies, last year. But it has to continue. Obviously, that has to continue. Somebody answered, the Sabres will make the playoffs this year if blank, and blank was Boston and Tampa have a bad year. That's basically, like, we need teams from the top to regress, right? So that you can get in there.
I mean, we've been talking.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot in summer times past, you know.
Fix the power play, Duffer. Fix the power play is huge. And
well, I guess my non-X question to you would be, amidst myriad of responses.
Yes.
Like, what is most important for you? Like, it's one thing for you to say, oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. This is a good point. But, like, what resonates with you the most in all of this? And how do you put it into your words if you were, in fact, filling in this blank?
Hockey is a team sport. And I always figured your team win games, your team loses game. Even if a goalie's having a bad night and that's the only thing that went bad, it's the team that still lost, right? Or if you win a game and Tage has 5 goals, it's the team that still won. But I have said it this summer and I'll say it again. For me, there's 5 players that make or break the Sabres season. It's Tage Thompson, JJ Paterka, Alex Tuck, Dylan Cousins, Rasmus Dahlin, and the goaltending. And I'm going to say, like, one position.
What did you say again? Thompson, Paterka.
Thompson, Paterka, Tuck, Cousins, Dahlin, and goaltending. That's the 5 keys to the success.
Well, that's 6 if you're including goaltending.
I'm saying there's only one goalie in a game,
Top 5. because nobody likes top six. Let's do top five. Is Lukanen in there, or are you taking one of those forwards or defense out?
I'm going to jump the goalies because I'm not going to like single out UPL or Levi.
Okay. So let's just focus on the five numbers, the 77, 72, 89, 24, 26.
Yes.
Right?
Perfect.
Okay. So there's your five, your fab five.
Yes, the core five.
How confident are you that all five of them will simultaneously have excellent, impactful seasons?
I think you need four out of the five to have excellent, impactful season for the season to go in the right way. But I am really confident, and I don't know if it's just it's October and it's still beautiful outside, and I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with joy right now and enthusiasm. But I would literally match up those five against a lot of other teams and say, I like the Sabres five better. I like the Sabres.
Well, they could use another defenseman if they were going to do that.
Put power in there and maybe.
No, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, well, we're like, going 4-1.
Four and one. Power play, right?
But I'm saying, maybe that's, like, yeah, yeah.
I'm putting those five against, you know, Toronto's top five. And I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, okay, you got Matthews and Niner and Marner, but my guys are right up there, right?
Right, because four of them could score 30 goals, and one of them, being the defenseman, could easily get 80 points.
Can get a point a game, absolutely. And that's where the enthusiasm and the positivity comes from me. Because I feel like 2 years ago, that five was really, really good. Peterka, it was just a rookie and didn't get to that where he is now. Yeah. But I'm putting that five against anybody right now. And I'm saying if that five is having great season, impactful season, that's a no-brainer.
Well, there's still no other team in the NHL that has attained 12 points in the preseason. I don't care how you slice up the rosters or divide them by continent. The facts are Buffalo has 12. Nobody else has got 12. Calgary's pushing hard. Calgary's been a really cool story so far in the preseason. They have opportunity, and they have definitely opened the door for some of their young, recent top picks. And so far, so good in that regard. Then there's other teams like maybe we'll get to Team of the Day Vegas, and there are a few teams like them that just haven't played a lot. So there's not a lot, you know, per se going on as far as like, you know, scoring leaders league wide in the preseason. Have you done that exercise yet?
I don't even want to go there.
It's so fun. Okay. Let me quiz you. Who are the top two point leaders with 7 points in five games and 7 points in four games, respectively, this preseason?
Okay.
Here's a hint. Both are in the first round of the 2023 draft.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This is why I'm excited about it.
Is Connor Bedard up there?
He's probably up there, but he's not that high up.
He probably hasn't played a ton, right? So these are guys that it's in their second training camp and they're being given.
No, in one case, well, it might be in both cases, but definitely in one, he's a super high profile non-North American. In fact, both are non-North Americans, but one played junior here, so that doesn't count. So.
Okay.
Matvei Michkov.
Oh, yes. I should have put
my. And a little later on in the first round, Slovakian Sam Honzik for the Calgary Flames has 7 points in five games. So,
okay. By the way, I watched Michkov the other night. He was electric. He is going to be fun to watch. Although Philly.
And that's a fear.
Philly was not fun to watch as a whole
team. Well, how can you say it's Philly? It's not Philly. It's whatever the semblance of their preseason roster is.
That night, it was most of their roster.
Most of the year they were in a playoff spot last year, and they're adding Michkov. So I think they are absolutely in the way of the Sabres to try to get to a playoff spot.
Well,
put me on the side of fearful in that regard.
I will not be fearful of the Flyers. I think eventually with Michkov and others, I don't like the Flyers goaltending all that much. Fedotov,
Urson's been really good though.
Yeah, again, Thurston's been good, and, good start. And he was great to start the year. Anyway, I mean, not to spend too much time on Philly. I'm just saying Mitkov is exciting. And look, people were asking, ooh, Celebrini going to be the, you know, rookie of the year? Is it going to be, Lane Hudson? Because the Montreal, fans going crazy with Lane Hudson. I'm like, hey, the clear-cut early preseason winner for me is Matvei Mitchkov. That would be my choice to start now for rookie of the year.
So Sabres practice today. They'll do so again tomorrow. The game is on Friday. That is game number one of the regular season. Again, 12:30 pregame coverage right here on MSG and obviously on WGR Sports Radio 550 as well. Yeah. With every passing day, we get more and more people on the waiver wire, or less and less over the course of the weekend, depending on where teams are at in their camp. Yesterday, the Sabres put a bundle, six-pack, if you will, of notable names on waivers for the purposes of getting them to Rochester. As that camp has opened for the Amherst, they'll have a preseason game on Sunday. Are you at all thinking that any of Sandstrom, Poolman, Rathbone, Dunn, Yopst, and Murray will not be part of the organization by, is it 1 or 2 p.m. today? I can't even remember now.
Usually it's noon, I believe, now.
No, it's not noon.
Oh, no, you're right. It used to be noon, but then they moved.
I think it's 2, but Jeff can clarify for us. 2 or 3,
but yes, it's later in the afternoon. It used to be noon. It used to be perfect for us because we'd get all these updates.
Pretty sure it's 2 o'clock.
Cleared waivers, but no, all of them will clear waivers. I assume that all of those guys expect as well to clear waivers and continue on to Rochester. I'd be very surprised, but I've been surprised about things before. But this is the time of year where teams are loading up the waiver wire because they're cutting lots of players. And they prefer their own players as opposed to others, usually. That's what it is.
But there have been a lot of injuries.
Lots.
And when you know that someone is going to be out for a while, and then you start looking at what's in your stable, and then you look at someone else's stable, and you say, person's a little more experienced for what we need right now. We could rent them short term, put them back on waivers once our guy gets healthy. Like, this stuff happens. Ask Alex Barry-Boulet, among others.
But again,
and you even said it the other day, like Yachts and Dunn, especially had some nice moments here in camp. Now the catch is, like, a guy like Josh Dunn, people might have wondered in the summertime, well, why would you sign him for 2 years? This is why, because when you have to go through the waiver process, teams are likely to balk at, even if they like him in the moment for exactly the scenario that I described, they don't want to take on 2 years at this point in time, right? And Josh Dunn has a two-way for this year and then a one-way for next year. And honestly, like, you can, it's fascinating to me when you look at how much leverage some guys that have spent a lot of time in the American Hockey League are able to, kind of exercise as far as what they can earn in the AHL, right? Yes. And then all those factors get considered in this whole process of waiver claims. So anyway, here's the thing. We always tend to really enjoy the company of those that we watch and follow on a regular basis. So there's always really don't want to see him go. Yet at the exact same time, especially in the case of more long-term Amherst, like Mason Yopst and Brett Murray, if somebody really wants them, I'm going to be super excited for their opportunity to potentially start a season in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, look, good luck to all of them.
Right.
This is never, it's even if you expect to be going to the AHL, it's never fun when you get the, hey, you've had a good camp, we're going to put you on waivers. If you're clear, we expect you to, report to the camp in Rochester starting tomorrow, whatever. It's never a fun conversation, but I would be very surprised if any of them got picked up. And there's not because they didn't perform well.
Right.
It's just because I don't know what's going to happen. The Sabres have 15 forwards, 9 defensemen, 3 goalies in Europe right now. Mm-hmm. When they return to North America, their roster is going to be probably 23 players. I would think they're not going to go to 22 just yet. I would think it's going to be 14, 7, and 2, maybe 13, 8, and 2. I would anticipate James Reimer to be put on waivers if he's going to go to Rochester. You're not going to keep three goalies. If you keep Lukanen and Levi, you're going to put James Reimer on waivers. I think James Reimer clears waivers. I think he goes and he's Kale your Clegg, third guy in
potentially.
Buffalo.
Right?
Yeah.
Kale Clegg, potentially.
Lucas maybe Rusek.
Maybe even one of the other defensemen and Bryson and Gilbert, depending on how they decide.
That so, is where know, it's going to get sticky,
right.
I think.
But Bryson these or are Gilbert real are, possibilities. Sorry. I don't know. Is possibility
real
the right
possibilities?
Word? Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think that's where, like, Rusek, for me, I think clears. If the Sabres decide to put Lucas Rusek on, number one, he didn't really get a lot of preseason because of the way that it was.
You know where
number two, he's on a one-way deal. So you better, think that he's going to have an impact on your team. So I think
Bryson, I think there's other teams out there that have forward injuries that might look at Lucas Rusek. I really do.
Yeah, no, I think they would, but
if
I don't
it comes to that. And who knows how the first two games are going to play out, right? Like, you don't know. Illness, injury, otherwise, performance, like, everything is up for consideration.
And maybe the Sabres decide, you know what, we have to play the waiver game because we don't want to lose Lucas Rusek. So
we
put Yuri Kulik on, send him down to Rochester. He doesn't have to clear waivers. He's not waiver eligible. So, and then in a week, 10 days from now, you say, okay, now we're going to put Rusek on waivers for the purpose to go to Rochester. Mm-hmm. And everybody's filled their roster at the end of training camp. And then they're like, okay, well, it's not the right time for us to pick up a guy. Like, there's that game that's being played as well.
Absolutely. And there'll probably be fun and games inside the arena on Saturday, which is day two of our kind of stretched out doubleheader.
Who's going to clear waivers? I don't think that's going to be accepted.
That is not going to be a game featured in the Global Series watch party at KeyBank Center. Now, that's Saturday. We're telling you to join us there. You watch the game on the new video board in the arena. Alumni appearances. I'm going to assume that those alumni appearances are not limited to Rob Ray and Marty Biron. We'll have giveaways, a chance to, really just sit back and enjoy. Like, it's a totally different experience to come into the arena and watch the live game unfold in front of you on the ice. Like, in this case, you just kick back and look up and watch the video board and obviously soak in. Look, it's an early start. We're going to be on the air at 9:30. The game starts at 10, so visit sabres.com/watchparty to learn more. Celebrini, Panarin, Laine, Tkachuk, Stützle, on and on Shabbat. And on it goes. What do these names have in common? We'll tackle that topic next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, second half of the show, time for the second biggest load of you-know-what after that whole misnomer in the first segment where you have to have a good start, and that really isn't, in fact, the case. You could win 50 of your last 60 and still make the playoffs. Anyway, the other
The race to 92, the race to 91 starts in December.
Starts in December, I love it. Oh, that's good promo material. I'm seeing.
I think
this
it's a race to 95 or 96 this year, but let's start it in October.
Okay, well, you know what else is the absolute... just, what do they call it? Bald-faced lie? Is that what it is?
A bunch of chicken, you know what?
When players leave a game due to injury, and like an hour or two or 3 hours later, a coach addresses the media and says, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what happened.
Probably the next day.
No, but they literally say they don't know. They know. They're just not telling you. It's ridiculous. The trainers literally come to them either on the bench or you're telling me if Sidney Crosby gets hurt, you're not finding out ASAP what his status is. Anyways, obviously, number one pick, Macklin Celebrini gets hurt last night and Warsawski after the game. I don't know. I got nothing. I have no idea. It's like, oh my God, stop lying to us. So
listen, here's what it is. Is it telling the truth? No. Is it lying? No. It's like...
it is lying when you say you don't know, because we know they know.
But you probably don't know the extent of it. You probably know it's the lower body.
When they choose not even to identify that there's a problem or where, that's insulting.
Yeah.
That's insulting.
It's like the coach assuming you want more details than, well, he hurt his lower body. We're still not sure the exact extent to the injury,
yes,
and we got to run some tests or whatever. You can say that as opposed to say, I don't know. Looks like Celebrini in the toe pick after, you know, going on the breakaway. It kind of was a stick in the way, and toe pick looked like he hit his right side hip, leg, significantly in the board. So, you know, those kind of injuries, like David Reinbacher in Montreal, it looked like a nothing injury, and now he's had surgery. He's out 5 to 6 months. Laine looked a lot worse, and he's out 2 to 3 months, and he doesn't require surgery, so they're going to rehab it. And so sometimes the Panarin, lower body, but Panarin was kind of, you know, not injured, but he missed a couple of practices with lower body earlier in camp, and then he has now a lower body injury.
Tkachuk and Stützle in Ottawa. You were working that game last night.
Yes, Stützle got hit by, well, Montreal and Ottawa was a gong show, and it was just, again, why is there so many preseason games?
It wouldn't matter. Now, if there was two, it would still happen.
It would happen, but it... Look, put the numbers on your side. If there's half the games, you may have half the situations, right? And maybe they'll happen later in regular season. But Ridley Gregg took a run at Kirby Dach, hit him blindside, and Kirby Dach left the game, and it looked like potentially a concussion. And now you're thinking, okay, Montreal lost Reinbacher, Laine. They lost Dach last year. They may lose Dach again this year. He came back, scored a goal, actually fought Ridley Gregg. It was fine. But Arber Jackey, who ran after Paré, you know, when he hit Laine last game that Saturday, Toronto, Montreal, he came across on Tim Stützle way late. And it looked at first hand like he caught him right in the head. Now, after the replay, we realized that it's Stützle's own stick that hit himself in the head. Mm-hmm. So, but it still was a 5 minute for interference. And because there was an injury on the play, regardless of if it's Stützle's stick that hits himself in the face, it was still the act of interference that led to the injury. So he got a game misconduct. That's now two games in a row that Jackey gets a game misconduct. Doesn't look like he's going to get suspended, but it was bad. And then Tkachuk, to defend Stützle, went after Jackey. They wrestled, fell to the ice. He got up, he had blood over his right eye, and looked like he hit his head on the ice and didn't return. And Thomas Chabot didn't return. Ottawa lost Tkachuk, Stützle, and Chabot in a preseason game last night. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not really good.
No, but you know what else could happen?
They could get hurt first game of the season.
They could get hurt in game 83 and 84, which is more ridiculous to me than playing 6 preseason games. So, anyway... Well, that was my third and final rant of the day, and I'll keep that one
brief. Well, this is where we're going to disagree. I think there is situations like Paré on Laine that in game one of the regular season, yes, Laine could get hurt, but it's not an AHL guy that is hurting your NHL player. And yes, you need to give everybody opportunities in preseason to have some ice time and maybe make the big club. But I think when you get to 6, 7, 8 preseason games, it's too much, too much. I say 4. 4 is the perfect number. Everybody plays 4 preseason games. You get, they practice for 3 days and they play a preseason game right away. Like, I get the players are in better shape than they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But give them time to get into the swing of things. Like, nobody should play a preseason game until 1 week of training camp is done. Like, not 3 days in a preseason game, a week of practices, then you get a preseason game, get 4 of them, be ready for the regular season, let's go. That's the way I feel the league should go.
Well, I don't disagree per se on your assessment of when to actually start playing and how often to keep playing in the preseason, but...
Injuries happen.
Who's lobbying for an 83rd and 84th game? Like... Find a way to increase revenue elsewhere. You don't need to add to the schedule.
I'll lobby for it because I think it balances the schedule. Like, the number one decider in making the playoffs is where you rank inside your division. You don't even play the 7 teams in your division the same amount of games. You got some teams you play 4 games. You get some teams you play 3 games. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So if you play everybody 4 games inside your division and you play everybody in the other division,
non-divisional playoff, because you have wild cards, which means 2 out of 8, which is 25% of the teams, are not related to your division schedule.
I get, but the top three is in your division. I just want the schedule to be balanced. To me, it doesn't make sense that
playoffs don't make sense.
Well,
they should be top eight in the conference, and you should play the conference.
Okay. You want to go top four in each division? That's fine. Like, right. Okay, let's do it. Top four in each division. I don't want it though, because I want
the diversity, which is presented by having it open to 16 teams and the top eight make it. And if it's five from one division one year, if it's six from one division one, I would be fine. You know what the answer to that is? You know what the old school answer from a manager in AAA ball is? Play better.
Play better. I get that. I get
you
that.
You know what I would do, Duffer? Play better and actually make it.
I have multiple Marty Biron plans. One is 84 games where you play seven teams in your division four times, division three, the 16 team in the other conference twice. It makes 84 games. But here's how you fix that. If you don't want divisional playoffs, you want conference playoffs. So the top eight in your conference get in. So here's how you do it, okay? You play four times your teams in your division one year, and then the next year it's switched. It's the team, like, or don't do any divisions. Just do conferences, and you balance, and you play every team, all 15 in your conference, the same amount of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder for the West. It's easier to sit here in an Eastern time zone and recognize that, you know, it's just unfair, obviously, because when you extend it out in the West, you're going to have the Central and the Mountain and the Pacific, and that's way more traveling.
You want me to add a little bit to you? Maybe we'll do a new schedule when there's 34 teams in the NHL, and then we'll have to rethink the whole schedule.
Okay, do you think that's another load of you-know-what?
That no one's even
thinking about it.
Nah, that's a load of you know what. That's definitely you can. I'll go and
or were they really to the letter of the law? They were legitimate and 100% honest in saying it never came up in this meeting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the Darcy Regier. Like,
but it might have happened before the meeting.
Are you interested in this player? No, as of now, I'm not interested in that player. But in 5 minutes, I will. And 5 minutes ago, I was. But right now, I'm not. Like That was always the joke with Darcy, is he would answer very, like, straightforward, no, I am not. But we all knew that there's some vagueness to that as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's a crock of, I'll go clean up the chicken coop and bring you a nice handful of it. You know, I think the league is 100% considering expanding because it's $1 billion plus every time it's going to happen.
Makes a lot more sense than adding games 83 and 84, in my opinion. Share the wealth, baby.
And that money does not get shared with the players. That money goes straight to the owners.
Yeah, but you know what? Like,
you know what else goes straight to the owners? Preseason games money does not get shared with the players. Right. So that is why we're getting seven and eight preseason games for a lot of teams.
Vegas team of the day is not going to happen for those of you who are hanging in for that. when you talk about it that way, and there have been any number of instances publicly or even semi-privately, some things that we've been privy to, it appears as though we truly are trending in the right direction in labor relations between the players and the owners under the NHL and NHLPA umbrella. Yes. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
Do you think then, based on everything you just noted, which are extremely significant from a revenue standpoint, do you think that even to a small percentage, and for whatever reason, to enhance the livelihood of today's modern day player, or to add to the alumni pool, if you will, how do we help those who played this game and maybe in difficult spots, health-wise, you know, all that? Like, do you think there's even a tiniest little appetite? Because what you're talking about potentially here is adding two more teams at prices, expansion fees that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So in some sense, you could say it's all gravy, right, for the owners, because they would never have had this kind of windfall financially to be spread out through the whole group. So do you think that there's a possibility, because of these good relations, that even 1% of all this could somehow go to the players and appease them and make it even more palatable for them? Or are they just going to say, well, you know, 46 more full-time jobs on an annual basis at the very least would be pretty cool?
It used to be the $1,000 question, and then it became the $1 million question. Now it's the $1 billion+ question. Yeah. It's so hard because players that retire are everywhere in the world, and every country has different healthcare systems. And you know, you can go to Canada and have universal healthcare, and you don't have to worry about it. And then you're in the US, you have to get your own healthcare, and you could be in Sweden and have to deal with something else. It has been talked about. It has been negotiated. It has been brought up and to the table about how do we help the alumni in multiple cases, especially when it comes to healthcare. The sweet spot and the right answer has not been found yet. And it's smart people that are all on it and talk about it. We have great leadership with the Alumni Association and Glenn Healy, and now with Marty Walsh at the Players Association. They've had that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this. Gary Bettman comes out at the Board of Governor meeting, and he said, hey, we're going to start negotiating a new CBA probably in January. And who knows, maybe by the start of next season, we'll have a new CBA, because the CBA expires at the end of 25-26. So we have two seasons. And then
this year and next.
This year and next. And then after that, there needs to be a new CBA. That was all, you know, extended with the COVID and all the new, mm-hmm. you know, details that needed to happen. But Gary Bettman knows very, very well that the players are coming in saying, hey, expansion, we want a piece of it. And this, that, they're going to come in. I think it's Bettman's way of saying, let's make it look like everything's good. Like, we're all good. Everything's great. Let's start negotiating now. Let's have it done before the start of next year. But there's going to be a lot of sticky points on the table once again for a new CBA in 2 years.
Yeah. Do you think Jeremy Swayman will be signed before the next CBA is done?
I said 24 hours. If it doesn't get done, it's not about the money. It's about the principle of the thing. And right now, like, if the Bruins offer 62 and Swayman wants 64, they're close, right? They're mm-hmm. close. It's just, hey, let's get it done. Okay, I'll take it and whatever. But I think now Jeremy Swayman is really ticked off. And the insiders are all starting to get more phone calls about, there's trade talk. There's actual conversation now that maybe the Bruins and Swayman's relationships is so broken, and it started mm-hmm. last year by going to arbitration and you know, going into this summer, mm-hmm. that there could be some trade rumors that are going to make sense really, really soon.
All right, time out. Back one last time on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Oh, I love it.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I don't know who's going to share content from us from the last 53 minutes, but there's lots of content on Sabres social these days, including the Blue and Gold Standard second episode featuring Lindy Ruff and Rob Ray.
Lindy and Razor looked cold on the lake. They went fishing, and they got caught in a bit of a storm. They had to race back to the docks. But not only that, our boss Pete tweeted, who's more competitive, Lindy or Brendan Bean? Because he also went to the Bills during training camp. So that is out. It was premiered last night, and it is now out now on Sabres.com, Sabres YouTube, the Blue and Gold Standard, Lindy Ruff, Episode 2.
Doug Barry, right shot defenseman, born on this date 78 years ago. He was an original Sabre, first game, 70-71 season. He was +1 in game one, but he's not the most famous birthday in Sabres history on this date. No, that would be Don Luce, who is 76 today. Happy birthday, Don.
Happy birthday to Don Luce, the guy who had the big hair and then the big helmet after that to fit on top of the hair. But more importantly, he was the one that welcomed me on stage when I was drafted in 1995. Muckler, Don Luce were on stage, and Donnie and his wife Diane always took care of the prospects and made sure we were all set in the summertime. And happy birthday, Don Luce.
Great way to cap the show. We are just that much closer to the season opener. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.